discussion before we studied in the beginning about the Muslim people. How, and I said that they, you know, they could attack over here, and they've been worried about this for years because they're hotheads. And we studied a little bit about their philosophy and theology. And I retaught this again in church history twice. Just the last two times I taught church history, we studied that again about the Muslim people and their holy wars. And, you know, the Catholic Church during the Dark Ages did exactly what we saw Tuesday. They did that in Mexico and every place they want. They devastated without just going and kill them. So what? It doesn't matter. Well, we see, and we have seen in church history, the study of the history of mankind, basically. We saw Adam, and he had children. He had Cain and Abel, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Abel believed in God and believed in the truth, and Abel did what? He believed in works for salvation. Salvation by works. And what did the salvation by works do to the salvation by grace person? Killed him. And it has not stopped from Adam's time down to now. One thing I very much disagree with, they said that America has never had a war on the soil. We had one in the Civil War, during the Civil War.
Somebody mentioned this.
And during World War II, America hushed up, but we were attacked in Long Beach. All along the coast up here, San Francisco, Seattle. Yeah. They covered it up. But yes, the enemy planes did get over here, the submarines got over here, the air carriers, they were bombing America. And I've listened to foreign broadcasts. I go on my ham radio, and I can hear the news from the other side. Over there, and how they're talking about us over here and everything. Europe has been devastated with war in the East and the Middle East for the whole history of mankind. When this country, when God divided the earth in the days of Peleg, this country has never really have seen that type of devastation until America was populated by the Europeans. And then it was depopulated. America was depopulated at that time. That was war. How would you like to have been on our side when we were the indigenous people? And what happened to us? One thing I want you to understand, with the oil interest and everything that's going on over there in the Middle East, a lot of those Muslim countries hate us like we were the devil. Now, false religion can't stand or tolerate truth, can it? It won't tolerate it. The heaviest persecution that Christians have in the world today are in those Muslim nations. If you speak the name of Christ as a Messiah, you're dead duck. I mean, they're going to execute you. Well, there's a lot of people that came to this country as refugees from the Middle East that are Muslims. They're not part, and there's all kinds of sects of Muslims. Okay? And I've seen this already since this attack on New York and Washington, D.C., that people are lining up against the people here in America that are Muslims and that are coming from that part of the country. They left those areas because they were being persecuted too. They have been facing this for years, this type of holy wars over there. If you are a Muslim and you are not the sect of that man over there, you're a dead duck. They will kill each other just like they'll kill you. And like I said, with the oil interests that we've had over there, America went over, especially in Iran. And we tried to make Iran a middle-class American country. To a Muslim, that's blasphemy. Because Mohammed didn't do it that way. And so they hate us. And they want to kill us. And whatever they do. Now, if you're a Muslim, if you're in a certain sect of Muslim, or Islam, okay? Muslim and Islam means basically the ones who hear adheres to. Okay? If you are in a certain sect, there's many sects of Islam. If you're in a certain sect, you have to be totally honest to your brother. Just like the Bible teaches, you know. And you cannot do any, if you do anything wrong to him, almost everything is a capital crime. But if he is not of that sect of Islam, then he's a dog. And you can do anything you want to him, and not only will you be, is it all right with Allah, if you fight the enemy and die in the process, you're going to be rewarded and you're going to go in what they call the beatific vision. All of those pilots on those planes that flew those airplanes in, according to their theology, I know where they are. They're in hell burning today. I mean, the fire's just started when they hit. But according to their theology, they went right into and they became kings in the afterlife. They were guaranteed to be reigning as kings and have women slaves and peeling grapes and handing them to them on a platter and just fanning themselves and just having a water in a palace forever. That's where they thought they were going. But that's not what happens. But they took a lot of people with them. Now, Sodom was saying, he said that this, you know, this is great. The snake, the old serpent is getting paid back what it's done. We have to remember how they're looking at us. We went over there and interfered with their lifestyle. We took watermelons over there and told them to eat watermelons, and they said, Muhammad didn't eat a watermelon. That's got to be blasphemy. We took tractors over there and put them out in the fields, and there's no way in order to plow a field with a tractor. Muhammad didn't have a tractor. They let us plow the fields for them. They're not going to do it. They'll take every bit of handouts that we have, but they're not going to go and plow their fields with a tractor, with an iron plow and things. That's blasphemy to them. Well, there is where the hatred is. The hatred is in false religious systems, and that's what we've been studying. That's what we're studying right here in the book of Revelation tonight. Persecution. But in the book of Revelation tonight, we're going to see the screw is turned. God releases his anger and wrath upon false religion. And that's where we are. We're in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. I thought we were supposed to start a new class tonight, officially. I mean, we have class all the time, but every now and then they announce it, and maybe it's going to be next week. I don't know. But, or maybe just I get to look at you guys again. Without any new faces in here, I don't care, but sometimes I do. Sunday night at 4:30, we have the class on the parables of Matthew 13, the prophetic parables of Matthew 13, and basically what that is church history. Except we're going to look at it from the standpoint that it's talking about there. If you don't understand church history, you can't understand those parables at all. It's impossible because you're looking at them from the wrong angle. Just like a Muslim, Islam, looking at your Bible. You know, they don't believe it.
What time will start,
Jim? 4:30 to probably I'll let you out 5:30 and 5:45. I'm going to start letting this class out about probably 10 after 7, something like that. Give you a little time. I think they're letting the church service out early anyway. So I won't hold you too long on this one. I'll just try to cram as much in as I can in that length of time. Brother Jim, it's good to see you here tonight. Good to have you all through the classes. He's probably my oldest student here that I've had in Greek as a solid student. You started right almost from the beginning, didn't you? How many years ago was that? 5, 6, something like that. I don't know how many years ago. It's been quite a few years. He's getting quite a little bit of this under his belt at this time. Brother, would you lead us in prayer?
Lord, we do thank you that we're able to gather here tonight in this church in a free country. Father, we just ask that you continue your hand of protection over us. Lord, that... we just ask tonight that you be with those families that are mourning, with those in government that they can know the right things to do to help keep this country going in a way that would honor you. Lord, we've seen on television and on the radio a number of people invoking your name. Father, we just ask now that they remember your name when times are good, as they seem to be able to bring up your name now in government when times are bad. Lord, we just ask that you turn this nation to call upon your name in all times, that we recognize your kingship. Father, tonight, as we learn your word, we just ask that you give Brother Jim wisdom from heaven. Lord, that we may receive the insight from your word, that we may know the plans that you have set forth in your book. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I feel so sorry. I was just sick when I saw those things on television. My renter that I had, I was out working in the yard early that morning trying to get as much done as I can, just going like a blaze, as I usually go. And he came up here and he said, "Don't you watch television?" Like this. You know, I said, "Well, who's got time to watch television?" He said, "Don't you listen to the radio?" I said, "Who's got time to listen to the radio? We work on a farm here." He said, "We're at war." And there's a lot of crazy people running around. I started, first of all, this guy's hallucinating. But what had happened was just exactly what I said could happen over for the last 20 years. And these holy wars, the book of Revelation is full of it, isn't it? The greatest holy war that's ever going to take place is the one that the Antichrist will pursue. My wife, she was crying and everything. She said, "What's going on here?" And I said, "Well, we may be right in the last times." I said, "Now all we need is a man to stand up and figure out how to bring all the world to peace." And literally, there's got to be a lot of dying first. But now what we need is the man on the white horse to bring us to peace over there in the Middle East and all over and get everybody lined up. The wars we're going to have when we hear that, when we have terrible wars and get things started, I mean, it's not over with. They're going to have to completely turn around our security systems. Can you imagine hijacking an airplane with a pocket knife and a box cutting knife? How stupid. I talked to an airline pilot. I thought she was on, not a pilot, but she's a stewardess. I thought she was on a Rosa Brown. And she said, "I couldn't believe that." She said, "They took me." And I said, "Don't you have any weapons on you as the pilots and stuff?" And he said, "No, we don't have anything." I said, "Why in the world don't they train you or put a marshal or somebody on every airplane to stop this type of nothing that should have been able to be stopped?" And she said, "I don't know, we need to recap." And I said, "You don't see that. I was over in Israel and the Middle East all over. That wouldn't happen there. There's no chance of that ever happening. If they had to shoot the man down and blow the airplane out of the sky, it would take place because they wouldn't have allowed that to happen. It would have been stopped immediately. I've flown on those outer lines." It's something else. Well, let's go to the Revelation, the 16th chapter, and we were probably going to get to the 17th chapter tonight, I believe. Babylon the Great, the system of false religion and corrupt politics is falling. I expect to see a lot more people in church now. After this coming Sunday, this place will probably be absolutely packed. Thank God for it. You hear people talking about God on television that never even spoke it. The name of God, or even referred to Him at all. I heard a man one time said, "In the battle, on the battlefield, and on the front line, there are no atheists." Well, people start shaking and they start fearing for the life and calling upon God when sometimes they don't even know who He is. But now may be some of your best areas of discipleshiping and witnessing. As you go out now, you've got an opportunity.
Yeah, but it's hard to remember right now. People are more angry than
they're I'm angry.
And then,
well, one thing about it, when something like this happens, Israel is our leader.
Yeah, that's right.
They have faced this for 50 years. We have to start. I told my wife, I said, "They ought to hire Israel to take care of the situation. Just pay them. They can do it.
Yeah.
They ought to come over here and train our airlines. They can do it. They've been dealing with this for 50 years. Hire the army, Israeli army. They'll take care of it. Just supply them. That's all we have to do. We don't have anybody in the army that can even shoot anyone." Well, I mean, they couldn't hit the broad side of a barn from the inside of the barn. You know, what did you say?
What little army we
have. Yeah, what army we have. But let me.
I was talking with my neighbor. One of my neighbors, their Arabs, they made it up in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a big old satellite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching on TV. You know, from, they were showing me on TV. They said that they said a lot of that stuff was our fault.
Well, what did I just tell you tonight?
Yeah.
If, from their point of view, it is our fault.
Yeah.
But they're looking at, they're trained to hate us from babies. They are trained from babies to hate us. Okay? That was, and that was,
they're scared. They're scared, they said, because, you know, people are either, I know some of the young girls since they were, you know, little kids and they're in high school. And they said they're afraid because people are name calling them.
Well, there's going to be a lot of persecution here against those people. They're afraid for their lives.
And they said and she got her mother there, and she said that Saddam Hussein has killed a lot of their relatives.
Yeah.
And murdered them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're here in the United States.
Well, Saddam Hussein said we're getting exactly what we deserved over there. But see, you have to look at it. We changed their way of life. They disposed the Shah of Iran. That was our greatest ally over there. But they kicked us. All those tractors are sitting out there rotting in the fields. They don't want anything that we took over there. They don't want their life changed. They want the benefits of our civilization, but they don't want to do it like we do it. And according to them, we're devils. We're dogs. And whatever they do against us, is God's going to reward them for. It's wrong, you know. But there we have the false religion. Here is that false religious system during the tribulation period right here. Still the false one. Remember? All of history. All the way from Adam. Now, all the way from Adam's time, we have Cain and Abel. All right? We have false religion throwing a wide swath to history. It's greater than the truth. And then we have the truth, the fine line of truth. The little bitty fine line of truth going down through history. Error has always persecuted truth, hasn't it? If the government had just been a little bit smarter when they went over there in the Iran, looking back, it would have been better if we just gave them wheat and flour and everything and let them settle on their donkeys and get out there and plow the fields with them and be dummies and act like Mohammed did. Just let them be. That's what they wanted. But we aggravated them psychologically. We tried to help them. But you can't help a people seat in this false reality in and false religion. You can't help somebody like this. The only thing you can do is hope that they come to Christ, the real Christ of the Bible. Islam today believes in Jesus. Did you know that? They believe he was a prophet of God. But the last and the greatest prophet of God was who? Muhammad. And you can't call them Mohammedans. If you call them a Mohammedan, they'll get mad. They said, we don't follow Mohammed, we follow Allah. Well, Mohammed was an uneducated man out there in the desert, and he grew up and he had epilepsy and he had gone to these fallouts. Yeah. He would have these visions when he was had these seizures. And he absolutely combined and gathered together the Arab people like no man that has ever lived. And I've said it 1,000 times. A lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. That's an absolute fact. They had the truth of Jesus Christ when that Mohammed came on the scene. It had been out in the world for 700 years. Muhammad stands up and they said all the things in the Bible are all twisted up in lies. I'm going to write the story right now. Abraham had 2 sons. Who were they? Huh? Ishmael, Isaac. And Isaac was not the promised son. Ishmael was. Now this is in the Quran. And they said that God called Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and go up there and offer his son. He didn't offer Isaac, they said he offered Ishmael. And they said them liars that wrote the Bible, the Old Testament, those Jews are terrible. They hate us, and so they wrote these terrible things about us, but we're really the promised people. Who was on the throne when Jesus came?
Herod.
He was a descendant of Jacob? Of Esau. And Esau was mixed up with whom? His descendants. Ishmael. There you go again. Same story. What did Herod do to the Christ when he was born? What did he try to do? Kill him. Error cannot coexist with truth. The same thing. All the way down through history, we have always seen this wide swath of error and lies and the fine line of truth. The Lord says, the way to eternal life is narrow. That path is. The way to destruction is wide. Is false religion, will it take you to hell? I tell you what, those people that commandeered those jets today are in hell, and they will never again ever denounce the name of Jesus. They will confess Him from now on, but they took a lot of people with them. A lot of people, some of them went to hell and some of them went to be with the Lord. Thank God for the ones that were saved. But the saved people, I know that there were saved people that died in this. There are saved people that died in World War I, World War II, all down through the Baptist history. The ages, there were 50 to 100 million saved the Baptists that died during the persecutions through the Roman Empire and on down to Catholicism and all down to even to this day. Saved people do die for the truth. Satan, who is the god of this world, this present age? Satan. The Lord's going to take it back. And that's what the parables in Matthew 13 talk about, taking the kingdom back. Right now, it's Satan's on a leash. Turn loose out there, but he's on a leash. He's a killer and a murderer and the father of it. Killing and murdering. Now let's go look at this false religious system. 6 and verse 19. Chi. Agenito. Hey. Police.
Police.
Ho. Or hey. Megale.
Megale.
Hase.
Tria.
Mere.
Chi.
Hey. Police. Tone.
Ethnon.
Ephesson.
Chi.
Babylon,
Hay,
Megale, Emneste, Enopion, Tuthiu, Dunai, Alte, To, Poterion, Tu, Oinu, Tu, Thimu, Tais, Orgase, Altu. Let's look at this. Remember, this is the false religion, the final act of false religion. What is going to happen to false religion? False religion has always persecuted true religion. Okay? Now here we have it. God is taking the reins back. He's taken over the coach. He's up there in the seat. And it became the city, the great. What it says here is split in three parts. The cities of the nations, they fell. And of Babylon the great, it was remembered. Or she was remembered, literally. She was remembered. The word there comes from memenesco. Our word memory comes from this word, and also memorial. What do you have a memorial service, Brother Bill? What happens?
Oh,
16 and verse, Revelation 16 and verse 19. Revelation 16 and verse 19. When you have a memorial service, that's what this word comes from. What do you do? You remember somebody. The word grave, stone in the Bible, means the place of memory. When I go out, I took my sons out to the funeral, or not the funeral home, but to the graveyard here about a year or two ago. We went out there for some reason or other. And I took them to my grandmother and grandfather's gravestones, headstones. Their names are written on there, you know, been in the graveyard. It's a place of memory. I said, that's my grandmother and my grandfather. They said, who are those people? Sure, they never knew them. But it's a place of memory. When I die, memory goes with me. I don't care how many generations come and go. You know, if you don't leave something great in this world, if you don't do something great of some sort, like Louis Pasteur or something in history, Hitler, you're forgotten in a generation. Your history that is forgotten. This false religious hellish mess that has come down through time is not going to be forgotten. And everything she did, God is going to put double on her head. Double. Whatever she did twice is going to be done twice that much to her. In the Old Testament, on the law of Moses, if you sold something, you had to repay it. Not if you sold a dollar, you had to repay more than a dollar. Because you had committed a crime. The crimes that have been committed down to religious crimes are going to be put on the perpetrators and the ones being used by the perpetrators. You remember what's been said about going over there and getting this old boy that's probably behind all this stuff. He's got by with it two or three times already. He's done things. He's got by with it. And the country over there is covering up for him. They said they're going to get the criminal and those people harboring the criminal. The Bible says that. Yeah. All the nations that are behind the Antichrist is going to be persecuted just like Antichrist. Even the snake in the garden. The Nahash, as it said in Hebrew. The deceiving one. Even the snake had a curse placed upon him because he allowed Satan to use him. What was it? Huh? Yeah, he got to crawl on his face from then on. On his belly. He got to crawl on his belly from then on. He was a act. He took part in the deception of Eve, didn't he? He loaned Lucifer his body.
He had a choice.
Yes, there was a choice there. So guess what? He got cursed. Current events. This looks like current events almost already, doesn't it? Remember, it's not bad yet. What we saw there is going to be all over the world. In the end, 5/6 of the world is going to be like this. You take 6 parts. We're not putting up in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We see great big cities like New York City. I mean, no place in the world. When they hit Pearl Harbor, they didn't kill as many people as killed right here. Five out of every 6 people are going to die. 1, 2, 3. 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to die. You see how much left in the world here? Now, if you think that's devastation, what you saw on your television, that's just the beginning of devastation. Just the beginning of it. It's bad. We saw it with our own eyes. I saw them planes crash into those buildings. all, I mean, you could just see the people that are burning and dying and crying. And I mean, I could see it in my mind's eye. And people running and screaming and trying to get away from that terror. 5 out of 6 people in the world are going to die during this time because of the choices they have made. And they continue to make. The city is split in 3 pieces. And she fell. Babylon the Great was remembered. Before the eyes of God, before the presence of God, down before Him. And to give to her the cup, He's going to make her drink. There's an old story, an old saying. I guess you figured out last Sunday I didn't have to dress up being a cowboy and some old western hillbilly or whatever, you know, some half wild Indian or half tame, I don't know which one I am. But they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, they say in the old days, they said, well, you can salt his grain and make him thirsty. You know, you can do everything you can to try to make him drink. Well, God is going to lead this woman to the cup and say, drink! Drink! You deserve it. And what is He going to give her? Just exactly what you see on television this week. Those 2 towers were something else, weren't they? The tallest towers in the world, weren't they? They're not there. 5/6 of the world is not going to be there. 5/6. Think about it. To give to her the cup of the wine of the built-up thermist anger of the orgase. That's the word wrath. All right? We have a bottled-up wrath here. God has not, He has allowed false religion to exist with truth all down through the ages, all the time, all the way from Cain and Abel, haven't He? I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is a good illustration, okay? In my class on Matthew, the prophetic parables of Matthew 13, it says, and the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed his field with wheat. And by night, what happened? The enemy. Who do you think the enemy is? Satan. And he went out and he sowed false wheat in the field. And they started coming up again, and the disciples come, just let's go out there and root up the tares. And they said, don't do it. Just let them go. Just let the tares go until harvest time. Then I'm going to go out there and harvest them all, and I'm going to take the tares and I'm going to bind them together. And then I'm going to throw them into the furnace. Did you see the furnace yesterday? That, you know, we talked about movies like The Towering Inferno. And Star Wars and all these things, and some of you watch Star Trek and everything over the years. I mean, I haven't been exposed to TV a whole lot. I just don't have time to do it. But this is, it looked like the imaginary movies, didn't it? It looked like a movie, huh? But it was really happening. And you see these people running, and the movies are so real today that it didn't look any different than a movie. This looked like a movie, but it was real. People have made movies of the book of Revelation over the years, haven't they? I don't know what the names of some of them, because I've never seen any of them. They've got a bunch of books, a series of books out right now. What's those books called? Left Behind. The stories that we are seeing unfold today are in these books. Talk about Left Behind. Why are people left behind? Because they wouldn't believe until it was too late. Why did the people during the flood have to die? Some of them believed on the outside of that ark, but they were disobedient, weren't they? God shut the door. God called the animals into the ark. You don't know it didn't go out and do that. I mean, you've been watching the movies too much. You can make Noah out and gather them up. God called the animals. This is not the seems to be, but the mail in the book of, or Exodus or whatever, you know, or the Bible or these things. We need to little stay a little closer to the Bible and a little further away from Hollywood, maybe. Nice watching entertainment, but figure out what the truth says. Okay? God called the animals and told Noah to get into the ark. And who shut the door? God shut the door. At the tribulation period, when the tribulation, the great, comes upon this earth, and it's not here yet. I've got previews of coming attractions this week. At the previews of the coming attractions of this work, this tribulation period, God takes His people up and shuts the door. The door is shut. You can't get out of that mess alive. His anger would pour down on this earth. Revelation 11 and 8, 14 and 8, 17 and 18, 18 and 10. And 18 10, 18 and verse 21, 18 5 and 14 10, these are all cross references to this. By the way, I brought this thing here. If you want all of these tapes, you can get them. And these little vinyl folders like this are, they're $35 per folder. There's 16 tapes in each folder. That's a really a good deal. That's what it cost me to produce these things. And you can get them, and they are, this one doesn't have all of them in it, but you can see it, and you can go back and study this later for your own benefit. Just like that. All right? Also your own video, too. But you can go back and play this. I'm still studying my seminary tapes from 30 years ago. They're squeaking and barely going. Trying to retake some of them, but there is where you can get a lot of learning and go over this stuff. Bringing things up to memory. Revelation 16 and verse 20. Kai. Pasa. Mesos. Efe. Ephegan, I think it is. Kai. Ore. Uk. Hidre. Hidre, they saw it. That's it. Here ain't this song. Looked like two words. My writing wasn't too good. And every island, each one of them fled. And the mountains, not they were found. Every island was moved. Every piece of sand on this earth will fill this anger of God. There's not one patch of dirt, not out of your backyard over there on Inger Street or wherever you live. There's not going to be one speck of dirt any place in this world that's not going to feel the effects of this anger of God. Every bit of it. It says the mountains won't be found anymore. That's what you call levels. I've got a great big rake at home about this wide. It's called a landscape rake. You can go out there and rake with the thing and turn on the other side and level everything out. God's using His landscape rake on this earth. Level it all out. Leveling it. Leveled. 16:21. Kai, Kalaza, Megale, Hos, Palantia, Katabane, Ek, Tu, Uranu, Epi, Tus, Anthropus, Kai, Eblasphemason, Hoi, Anthropoi, Tontheon, Ek, Tais, Plagueis, Tais, Colossus, Hote, Megale, Eston, Hay, Plague, Altais, Sproldroth, and hail. The word hail, Colossus there, that means to let loose. That's what it means, to let loose. When you have clouds in the sky, There's water up there, isn't it? When it starts raining, what happens? The clouds let loose and fall, don't they? Isn't that what's happened? The water is turning loose and falling out of the clouds and hitting the ground. Now, this word hail here means to turn loose, or to let loose, or to let fly. All right? During this same period of time, what makes hail fall and rain fall? Have you ever heard of seeding clouds? What does that do? Come on, you scientists out there. It, particles of dust are put in the air, and water forms around those dust, or snow, or rain, or hail, and it drops to the ground. It becomes heavier, and it falls to the ground. The clouds let it loose, and it falls. During this same period of time, what kind of catastrophes are going to be taking place on the earth? Does Jim remember some of them?
Hailstones, huge earthquakes.
Well, this is the hailstones right here, but we got earthquakes.
We got water turning to blood.
Water turning to
blood. The sun touching the earth. Earth
burning it up.
Burning it up.
From heat. Intense heat. Volcanic explosions.
Darkness.
How many of you were around here when Mount St. Helens blew up? Mm-hmm. What did it do to the atmosphere, Brother Bill?
Couldn't see.
And that dust fell all over, and if there was clouds up there in the sky, guess what happened? It rained. It rained. We had floods.
It rained ash.
It rained ash, and the clouds were seeded all over, and we had a lot of rains everywhere. Guess what's going to happen here? Same old, right here. And the hail grapes. And it says, as a polentia. What does that mean? Let's translate that. As, or like, 100 to 120 pounds. Things falling out of the sky that weighed 100 to 120 pounds. How many of you know it weighs 120 pounds? Little Joanne's just falling out of the sky all over the place, just zooming down. Can you imagine that? I'm not picking on you, Joanne, but I mean, that's that size and weight falling all over the earth. When I lived in Fish Lake Valley, I told some of you this story before, but it hailed up there so hard it was raining leaves in my yard. It looked like that. The wind was blowing about 100 miles an hour. The hailstones were coming around about this big, about a half inch to three-quarter of an inch, maybe an inch in diameter across them. And it was just tearing everything off the trees, just leveling, tore up cars, busted windshields, tore down buildings, smashed windows out, everything. And those things only weighed an ounce or so. We're talking about 120-pound hailstones, whether it's rocks or else hailstones that were formed because of these volcanic explosions. The earth is made up of tectonic plates. The earth is molten in the middle. On top of the crust of this earth, it's like the peeling on an apple. The peeling is pretty solid outside. But down in here is a lot of heat and fire going on all the time. And it says God's going to cause these tectonic plates to shift. And volcanic eruptions are going to take place out in the middle of the ocean. Every place. There's going to be some real... What do you do when you get water and fire together? It causes steam. What does steam do when it gets in the air? Causes fallout. That's the same word right here. This fallout. Volcanic fallout. That's what rain and hailstones are. Can you imagine the ocean being spewing up steam and the whole earth being covered by this? And these giant hailstones, 120 pounds.
Likely to have acid in there from the sulfur.
Yeah. Acid from the sulfur. What is sulfur? That's brimstone, isn't it? How many of you have ever...
Firefly. Morton Thiokol Company makes the rocket fuel.
But sulfur is brimstone. Hell is described as being the place where there's brimstone. Until it burns out or runs out of things to burn through, that's bad stuff. Sulfur, a product of sulfur, is sulfuric acid. Brother, you work in a chemist, you're a chemist, aren't you? A product of sulfur is sulfuric acid. What happens when you get sulfuric acid on you? It says here, just before we got here, that acid was falling out of the sky and burning people's bodies and causing sores all over them. What do you think is falling out of the sky? This sulfuric acid from all of this brimstone and all of the sulfur and causing acid, real acid rain. This is all here. We know enough about science now that we can go back and look at the book of Revelation. When John was writing this, he didn't know what sulfur was. No more than brimstone. They hadn't been able to refine it and use it like they do today. They use it out here in these salt flats. You know what they do in the salt flat? They put sulfur out there. They used to take old battery acid and spread it all over out there because soil is either alkaline or acid. If it's too alkaline, it won't grow. Acid does fine. But you've got to put acid out there to kill the alkali and get rid of the alkali so you can grow something on it. Up there in Fish Lake Valley, they were buying all kinds of old used sulfuric acid to spray on their alfalfa fields. It was a real good fungicide and pesticide and everything else, except they found out there was a lot of lead in it. A lot of it had been reclaimed out of old batteries. Lots of lead. Lead's poison, you know. Boy, what a mess. And these giant 120-pound hailstones, each one of them came out of the heaven. That word, look at that word, kata bane, that's third person singular present indicative active. Each one of these came out of heaven. It's talking about each 120-pound hailstone. You know, that's a substantial hailstone, isn't it? I tell you what, that didn't put a knot on your head, would it? I took my wife out here a while back, and I was teaching her how to shoot, and she wanted to shoot a big target. I said, no, we're going to shoot a little bitty thing. I put matches out there, and I said, now shoot that match and strike that match, shoot the match head off of there. And then I drove some tacks in there. I said, now drive those tacks in that wood. She said, that's hard. You can't hardly see them. I said, that's good. If you can shoot something you can't hardly see, then you can shoot something you can see real easy. Just driving them in with force. A little tiny 55-grain lead bullet with force can drive a tack through solid wood. Get it? Mm-hmm. You saw me sit there and go ting, 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 and drove that tack right in there. Just drove it right down into the wood. There's a lot of nails going to be driven on this earth. Like these 120-pound hailstones going with velocity. With great velocity. These things came down, each one of them came down upon the Anthus Anthropus. What is that? Anthropus. The study of man is called what?
Anthropology.
All right. That's the word. Mankind, human beings. Lost human beings. And what did they do? Say, God, forgive us. Please forgive us. Don't send us no more hail. What did they say? They cursed God. They wouldn't repent. They blasphemed God. The men. They blasphemed God because of the plagues or out of the plagues, because of the plagues and because of the hail. Because great it is, the plagues of this plague. Exceedingly. Exceedingly strong. That's a little adverb there, that strodra. That means extreme, exceedingly strong. These plagues were more than what they wanted. Kai. We're in the 17th chapter. Hail things. Azet 2. Heptah. Angalon. Tone. Ekantone. Tos Heptah. Bialos. Tai. Elalaisen. Meth. Emu. Lagon. Luvro. Thanksol. Soy. Toll. Rima. Pace. Fornace. Pace. Megalase. Pace. Papamanase. Epi. Edaton. Alone. God is persecuting false religion. The tables have been turned. The little fine line of truth crippling around on this earth is protected by God, and the mass of false religion is being destroyed by God. The chickens have come home to roost. That's what happened. And it came one out of the seven, or he came one of the seven angels, the one having the seven bowls, and he spoke with me. Now what, look at that word spoke there. Elalaisen. Jim, do you remember what this word comes from? Elaleo. What does it mean?
To speak out of your own mouth.
To speak out of your mouth. With your tongue and your lips and everything in human form.
Human voice.
In human voices. In human sounds. This angel spoke in human language. Okay? With me, saying, come, I shall point out to you the krema, the judgment. And if you want to cross reference this, by the way, Revelation 1:1, 21:9, 15:1, 15:7, 16:9, 17:5 and 15, 19:2, Revelation 17:15, Isaiah 1 and verse 21, Jeremiah 2:20, Jeremiah 51:13, and Nahum 3 and 4. And I will point out to you the judgment of the harlot. Look at the word pornes. Pornes. Harlot. There's words for love in Greek. One of them is philo, I love. What do you think that means? Our word friend comes from that word philo. That means you learn to love somebody as a close friend. Then there's a word agapeo, or agape in noun form. And what kind of love is that? This agapeo, for God so loved the world.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional, undeserving love. A love where you will lay your life down for your friends. Some people are so angry today that people are going around and enlisting in the army to go there and fight those people that have done this because they're angry. People are angry. And so they will die for their friends. They showed a thing on television the other day as I was walking through the room. It was on the History Channel. There were the Sullivan brothers. Have you ever heard of them? I think there were five or six of them. I can't remember now. But all of them were killed in World War II. They all went in. The whole family went in there. And they were killed in World War II. They all died together. They were patriotic and they all died. They were all killed. Someone that dies for another, greater love has no man than a man that will lay his life down for his friends. Jesus even laid his life down for his enemies. Did you know that? You know that if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are his enemy. Because Jesus Christ died for all men. For the unbelievers too. But the unbelievers will be guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ and be called accountable for it. All religion. What does the word religion mean? Think about that word for just a minute. Religion. Religion. Okay, well, I bet if you're out here someplace, you can see it a little better. Religion. What's re mean? back or again. Or again. All right. What does the word lege mean? That's Latin. We got our word ligament from this word, ligament. What does that word ligament mean? Legere. That means to bind. To bind. And then ion is a suffix in English, which means what? The act of. The act of. Now look and see what religion means. The act of binding back again. Through religion, you bind yourself to God again because you fell away from God in your Adamic nature. Well, what does false religion do to you? It binds you away from God, doesn't it? False religion binds you away from God. And the harlot, the great, the one sitting upon the waters many, this harlot, pornēs, that word is a wicked word, agape, philo, and eroto, what does that word mean? We get our word erotic, and what do you think that Greek word means? That means sexual desire. That's what it means. That's the ones to love sex. Okay, eroto. How about pornēs or pornēo? This word is closely related to that. How many of you ever heard somebody who said, he's crookeder than a barrel of snakes? He's as balled up as a whole barrel of bacon are. That's what this world means. This word, pornēs, means crooked. Unholy. Perverse. God made a man and a woman to desire each other. That's how the race is procreated and carried along in it. That's the normal, natural thing. Men love women, women love men. All right? That's the way God made it. He didn't make it any other way. All right? If you do anything other than that, sex is combined and confined to what? Marriage in the Bible. If you do and use it for any other purpose besides that, it is perversion. Now, we talked about the oldest trade in the world. You know, we talked about that a lot of times in our language and history, and you've heard this on television and radio and things, and that's harlotry or whoredom or prostitution. That word comes from this word also. What does it do? Women are men. There are men and women prostitutes. Women or men take that which is natural for them to do and twist it up and pervert it for gain. Or pleasure outside of where it's supposed to be. That's pornēs. Crookedness. God makes every man desire to come to Him. There's something in you, according to Romans, the first chapter, that draws you to man, whether you ever heard of God or not. If you're out there in a Borneo jungle or wherever you are, you know who God is, don't you? Because God is drawing your man. Every man is religious. Everybody is religious. Like I said today, there are no atheists on battlefields on the front line. Every man is naturally religious. When a woman becomes a prostitute, when a man becomes a prostitute, they are perverting what God has made you for. When a man becomes attached to a false religious system, it is pornography. It's not religion. It's perverse. And God hates it. He hates whoredom. He hates false religion. God hates it. And this is His anger being poured upon. You might say, I've heard people say this, what does it matter what a person believes? It means a whole lot to God. I say that. It means a whole lot to the Maker, to the one that made mankind. It really means a lot to Him what you believe. It also means where you're going to be in eternity. And whether God loves you or God hates you, Because he doesn't like anybody in hell. Everybody who goes to hell is going to hate. Isn't that right? What the Bible teaches. And what did this harlot do? This false religious system, this political binding. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower that went out to sow. Who was the sower? Jesus Christ. Where did he sow? Where was the field? The field was the world. What did he sow? Truth. The Word of God. What did the enemy do? He went out after dark and sowed lies. Where did he sow? In God's field. Right among God's people. Does God say he loved, you know, let them guys alone? You know, they're going to be all right. The harvest is going to come together. And we'll just harvest them all and take them right to heaven. But just because he hasn't blasted it yet doesn't mean that he isn't going to. Because he says he's going to here. The one standing upon the waters. Taste, kathemenes, epi, hidaton, phalomi. Phalomi. The one setting upon the waters, many. What is this waters? What do you think this is?
People.
Yeah, people. The masses of humanity. The Bible says the broad way is wide, the truth is narrow. So the mass of humanity has gone the wrong way, and there's only a small elite group that have held to the truth. I didn't say that. God did it. I'm not bigoted at all about this thing. I mean, I'm just another human being. But the truth of God does draw lines of demarcation, doesn't it? It does. Men seek God. Everyone. The devil can put into your heart to seek a false god, just like the Holy Spirit puts in your heart to seek the truth and the way of salvation. There aren't many ways of salvation. There is one way of salvation. To go and seek a religion outside of the truth is to go whoring after other gods. That's what the Bible says. To go whoring after them. That's spiritual fornication. And I guess that's worse than the real thing. The physical. Spiritual things are more volatile than physical things. To seek false gods is to go whoring after them, fornicating after them. God hated Israel. God divorced Israel because she was a prostitute, he called her. He said, I don't want you anymore. I'm putting you aside forever. She has been put aside as his wife forever. She will never be. You don't take a whore and make it a virgin again. God is going to marry a virgin, not a prostitute. That's the way it is. And the book of Revelation tells us what that virgin does. She makes her garments white. How does she make them white? By the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the... What do you do to make my socks white, wife?
Soak them all night
and bleach. That's the real bleach. You know, it's kind of a funny thing because blood stains everything, doesn't it? But Jesus' blood cleanses it. Doesn't stain anything, it cleanses it. I hope the Word of God has touched your heart tonight in whatever way the Holy Spirit wanted him to. I hope that he leads you to salvation or to service in a more thorough way in your life than ever before. We live in perilous times, but they're getting a lot more perilous. It's just beginning. We are just beginning to see the end. We are just beginning to see what it's going to look like in tribulation the great. What? Just a glimpse. Previews of coming attractions. What they used to call, I think, leaders or something in the movie. They'd make a little lead or just
traitors.
Yeah, traitors. This is what's coming on next week. Well, God's letting us see what it's going to be like, the devastation that we have seen. That's just a particle of what's going to happen.
Like birth pains.
The birth pains. Brother Bill, would you dismiss this environment?
Where did we take to finish off 10 of these days of the night for this for the rest of the day, Lord? For those that need your prayer, that have been hurt in their families, Lord, we having trouble praying for them, Lord, but we know that you'll be with them because we ask you to, Lord. We pray that you'll just go with us and guide each one this week, Lord. We might be able to share a little more what we learned tonight. We ask these things in Jesus Christ.